Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We'll be reading a good portion of that passage, Joshua 24, 1 through 28. And that's found on page 335 in the Bibles provided. Joshua 24, we'll be reading that a little bit later in a couple of different parts during the message. And yeah, the other passages will be in there as well. I believe one will be on the screen as well. So just keep your Bibles ready to go with Joshua 24, 1 through 28. Beloved in Christ, apparently there are a number of people who want to listen to what Warren Buffett has to say. Warren Buffett, who many call the Oracle of Omaha. That's where he lives, in upper middle class home and neighborhood. Warren Buffett is 95 years old. He bought his first stock in the stock market when he was 11, and he's been buying stock and selling stock and buying businesses outright and selling them, making money while he sleeps, interest and dividends and that sort of thing. He has a net worth of $150 billion. That's billion with a B. It would be just as crazy for all of us if it was million with an M, wouldn't it? But it's billion with a B. Warren Buffett, the president and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, is at last retiring. And there are probably still a large number of people who want to listen to what Warren Buffett has to say. But he's speaking less than he used to. He's handled his last annual meeting in Omaha for Berkshire Hathaway, an annual meeting the venue of which holds 40,000 people, and it gets sold out every year. Not to mention it's broadcast across the world on TV every year to millions of people on CNBC. It's safe to say there are a number of people who want to listen to what Warren Buffett has to say. They'll tune in, they'll read books about him, they'll check his stock moves. He has a lot of money and a lot to say, and people want to listen to him. Now, how does this pertain to our worship sermon series? I mean, isn't worshiping God more about us people doing the talking? We talk to God when we pray. We lift up our praises to God when we sing. We speak with our hearts, bearing witness to what God has done. We speak also by offering our monetary gifts to God. God is the audience when we come to worship, right? Well, in some respects, but at worship's heart is this relationship, this covenant relationship we have with God, that God has graciously extended to us, extended his covenant relationship of love to us. And worship is really more of a dialogue, as we've stressed the last couple of Sundays, between God and us, isn't it? It's a dialogue. We enter worship because God calls and we come. And then God speaks a word of greeting to us and we receive it. And we speak that greeting to each other. And God speaks and calls us to confession by reminding us how we are to live according to his commands. We hear God speak his word on how we should live, and we immediately bend the knee and speak out to him our confession of our sins, to say we're sorry, to tell God we repent. And then God speaks and assures us immediately, you are forgiven. Christ died for you. Christ rose for you. Christ will come again for you. And we speak words of thank you to God in song, and the dialogue goes on from there, back and forth. But the main event in our worship is God speaking his word to us who are in a covenant relationship with God. God's word is read. The message, God's message, is given by the preacher. God's word is spoken. Think of it. So many people come to listen to what the great soon-to-be retired investor CEO Warren Buffett has to say. But friends, we get to come listen to what the greatest eternal King of all creation, the Lord God, has to say. So let's listen to him speak. Joshua chapter 24. One of those times when God's covenant with Israel needed to be renewed. For a lot of the promised land, a lot has been now allotted to the 12 tribes. The conquest of the land, much of it has happened, led by the Lord. Some remains to be conquered, but it's time now for a recommitment in this covenant with the Lord. And the highlight of this covenant renewal ceremony, this worship service, if you will, is the earthly leader of Israel, who is Joshua, giving an extended speech here. The earthly leader is preaching a sermon, really. And in that sermon, Joshua is recounting the history of God's faithfulness to his people. Joshua is about to call the people to renew their vows in this covenant. But he starts off by preaching a sermon about God's faithfulness. This is the highlight of this worship experience for Israel, listening to what the Lord God has done. Investors have their Warren Buffett. Israel and all of us have the Lord God to whom we listen. Joshua begins, listen carefully, I hope you will, speaking on the Lord's behalf, telling the people what the Lord has told him to say. Listen carefully to how Joshua does this as he speaks to the people. Verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." So Joshua is speaking for the Lord here. He's in the first person singular, telling the people God's words to them. "Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. And when I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea." Now notice, friends, this change in subject here. Joshua has been speaking the Lord's message. He began by saying, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says," and the speech has been first person. Joshua is speaking the Lord's very words, but now verse 7, there is a change in the subject. Now it's Joshua speaking once more. Now Joshua is first person, and the Israelites and the Lord are third person, sometimes second person. So Joshua says, we'll try to do a little grammar here, "But they," 7, third person plural, "cried to the Lord," third person singular, "for help. And he," third person singular, the Lord, "put darkness between you," Israel, second person plural, "and the Egyptians. He," third person singular, "brought the sea over them and covered them. You," Israel, still in second person, "saw with your own eyes what I," first person singular, "did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time." What in the world just happened? Joshua began this sermon with God in the first person. Here, Joshua speaks God into the third person, and then promptly at the end of this paragraph speaks God right back into the first person. Boy, this brings back some middle school memories of English class, doesn't it? Before we continue, we have to understand something. Joshua is giving a sermon, and a sermon faithfully spoken by God's servant is God speaking to his people. This English lesson, this little grammar lesson shows us that. The preacher speaks for God. In other words, in worship, and specifically in the sermon, it's not the preacher's words being conveyed. Even when he's talking about Warren Buffett, things like that. It's not the preacher's words. It's God's words. It's the very words of God. Just like reading from God's word is listening to God speak, right? Hearing a sermon is listening to God's word to us also. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Apostle Paul shows his high view of preaching. He writes, "We also thank God continually because when you, Thessalonian church, received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." So when I or any other faithful preacher preaches, we are listening to God's word. That's how high a value that Joshua, that the Apostle Paul, that God puts on the preached word of God. It is God speaking to us. God speaks through the preacher. So how important it is for the preacher to be faithful in preparation and in presentation, and how important it is for the congregation to be faithful in paying attention. One of the prerequisites, by the way, for this to be true, that preaching is truly God's word to the people, is that the preacher believes and preaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is from God. And when the preacher preaches, he speaks from the viewpoint of heaven, not the viewpoint of this world. 1 John chapter 4 tells us all this. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets, preachers, have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Do you, beloved, have a preacher who is convinced that Jesus has come in the flesh from God? Do you, beloved, have a preacher who speaks from a worldly viewpoint or a heavenly one? And do you yourselves, beloved, know God? Because if all those are true, then when you hear a sermon, you are hearing, not just when the preacher reads the passage, but also when he preaches, you are hearing the very word of God in that message. So let's finish the passage from Joshua 24. Jesus now speaks for God and says, verse 8, "I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan, and they fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand," the Lord, that is, saved them. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, but I gave them into your hands. I set the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow, but I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, says Joshua. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, no, we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield. Submit our hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people after this sermon he had just preached, this great sermon. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. Beloved, God spoke his word through his preacher Joshua, and the people submitted to the Lord God. We will serve the Lord, they cried. You see, when God speaks, we, in our hearts, with our voices, in our minds, we submit. God speaks, we submit. It's not God speaks, we just listen. No, we submit, yield, submit. And the dialogue continues. Back to Buffett. It's not just listening to him all the time either. A lot of people want to do that, of course, with Warren Buffett, but every so often someone has the opportunity to take Warren Buffett out for lunch. Of course, they want to listen to him, and a lot of people who have lunch with Warren Buffett, they soak in everything he has to say. But Ted Weschler had the opportunity to have lunch with Warren Buffett twice, in 2010 and 2011. And I'll explain how he got that opportunity in a moment or two. But for now, like I said, most people, when they lunch with Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest people and most successful businessmen who ever lived, most people just soak him in, just listen to him speak, listen to his wisdom. A lot of people want to do only that. Listen. But Ted Weschler, he took it a step further, did what we're supposed to do. Ted Weschler, a successful businessman in his own right, didn't just listen when Warren spoke at those two lunches. Ted Weschler submitted, told Buffett, "I'll come to work for you. I'll be an investment manager for you. I'll follow you as my CEO. I'll play by your rules. I'll invest using your philosophy. I'll serve in this great company of yours." You see, there was dialogue between Warren and Ted, and Warren hired him after that second lunch on the spot. Warren spoke, and Ted, as it were, submitted. That's our worship dialogue, beloved. God speaks in His Word and in the sermon as it's preached. God speaks, and we submit ourselves to an authority so much greater than ourselves. We submit to the one, the Lord God, who has everything all figured out, because we don't have it all figured out at all. God speaks and comforts. God speaks and challenges. God speaks and provokes. God speaks and warns. God speaks and blesses. All those things and more, because He is God. So whatever He speaks about, it is our privilege to submit to. Like Warren and Ted. Warren spoke. Ted submitted, went to work for Warren. Like God and Israel. God spoke, Israel submitted. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. We will serve the Lord. We submit. How about people like us? Like God and us in worship. When God speaks, do we submit? All right, last thing now. What were you going to say about those lunches? How did Ted Weschler get to have lunch twice with the great Warren Buffett, who, as I said, is speaking a lot less than he used to? Well, 21 times in 23 years, he skipped twice because of COVID, dumb COVID. Warren held what we might call power lunches, 21 out of 23 years. They are charity lunch auctions. Ted Weschler won a couple of them, so he got to listen to Warren speak and then submit to Warren. Now, in 2022, Warren held his last charity lunch auction. How this works is the opportunity to have lunch with Warren Buffett. It goes up for auction on eBay. And the money each year goes to a charity that his first wife was very fond of to help the homeless population in San Francisco, California. The first year, the auction fetched $25,000. It's nice. The final year, 2022, because Warren Buffett is speaking a lot less than he used to, the 2022 auction fetched $19,100,000. As I said, a number of people want to listen when Warren Buffett speaks, and some of them with bucks will pay big bucks to listen. It cost the last bid winner, listen to that number again, $19,100,000 to have lunch with and listen to a world-class investor. It cost $19,100,000. The winning bid to listen to a powerful man for a couple of hours over lunch. It cost $19,100,000. Beloved in Jesus Christ, aren't you glad that you, twice each Sunday, can come to this place and listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the Almighty and Eternal Lord God, who speaks and will speak forever straight to you? His speaking will never be a lot less as he slows down and gets older and rides off into the sunset. No. And you can come here and listen to him at no cost to you. Because Jesus Christ, it cost him his life as he died for each of our sins on the cross and rose for our eternal life. $19,100,000? No! Free of charge. Jesus paid the cost of this eternal lunch for you and me. Listen to God speak so you can submit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you speak to us and we submit. Blessed Heavenly Father, we know that all your promises that you speak are trustworthy. All life's questions are answered in you. So we worship you, the one who supplies strength to the weary, increases power to the faint, and offers escape to the tempted. We worship you and submit to the one who sympathizes with the hurting, who shields the defenseless, who enriches the poor, who sustains the helpless, who shelters the homeless. We submit to you because you give purpose to the aimless and comfort to the lonely and fruit to the barren, beauty to the meek, a future to the hopeless, and life to the lifeless. And Lord, we confess that we too often fail to submit to you by overlooking the people who need your love and healing. We get consumed with ourselves, consumed with our schedules. We don't make time to listen for your leading and to watch for opportunities to give Jesus to those around us. Forgive us, Father. In a world of lonely, frightened people, may our hearts submit as you give us hearts that are broken for the things that break yours. As you give us compassion for a lost and dying world, for people you love. As you give us an unquenchable love for your gospel, for your Son, for your word, for you. Use us to make an eternal difference in the lives of people all around us. We humbly and boldly ask that you give us, through our submission to you, that you would give us the attention of our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, even our enemies, so that they see our example and want to know you because they know us, and want to place their faith in you because we are trustworthy. And they want to believe in you because of what we say and the way we say it. And they want to know that you love them because we love them. They want to have hope because we are so genuinely confident in our living. They want to have peace because we live unafraid. They want to look to you as the solution for what's wrong because we are looking to you for that same solution. And so, God, as you speak, let us submit so that you grow us into people who reflect you and your beautiful word in all we say and do. As you speak to us, help us to submit to you. All for the glory of your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Friends are all.